this really be the end? Should be stuck inside a mobile with the Memphis Blues again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Force Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. That is the text line. Please hit us up there. I still got a few to get to. Try to get to before the conclusion of the program today. Coming up tomorrow from the Media Research Center, Michael Morris, and some guests to be named later. I have not yet worked on the Tuesday guest list. Tuesday coming in off of Monday, always kind of an iffy day, but we'll get that to you. And when it happens, sometime in that 8 o'clock hour, if you want to know who's coming up on the program, post it on my social media, twitter.com/Jeff_Poor. Anyway, enough of that. Joining us now on the line, a guy I like to talk to from time to time about issues of athletics or sports related things, very knowledgeable in this field. State Representative Kyle South. He's from Fayette. That's just north of Tuscaloosa. But joining us on the line is Representative South. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Jeff. Appreciate you having me on today.
Hey, thank you for making time. Before we get into what we asked you to come on about, a couple of it looks like it's something that is really going to change Fayette for a while.
Listen, Jeff, when I came into office, there were 14 counties in the state that didn't have four-lane access to an interstate. And that was a priority of mine to correct that going forward in any way, shape, form, or fashion that we could. Because without it, you know, economic development is not a path forward. And so it was a big day for the governor to announce that last year, and now we're starting to see things come to fruition. I think Geneva County was another that she announced early last year, and so some progress being made. Click those 14, but there's still a ways to go, and we appreciate the investment that they're making in our area. And you know, without it, there's no way for rural counties and communities to thrive. You can only hope to survive, and that's what we've been trying to do, survive. So hopefully that investment in infrastructure, among other things, is a step in the right direction.
Representative, how is the session going for you this year? This is not your first go around this quadrennium, but a very active fourth year, right?
Yeah, no doubt. It's been a little bit different than most fourth year of the quadrennium kind of thing. You know, normally we're taking it pretty easy going into the election cycle. This year has been quite the opposite. Start out with a special session, which has kind of compacted things on the calendar and timeline wise, and so it's been a busy one. We haven't steered away from many controversial issues, and so some of those conversations are still ongoing.
Well, let's get you on to talk about what I had hoped to talk about this morning. The Alabama High School Athletic Association, and this first showed up on my radar with that Mayori Davenport controversy. She had gotten a check from, she played for the country, you know, like an all-star event, and they had sent her family a check to reimburse her for her expenses, but as it turned out, that wasn't allowed under the rules of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, and they disqualified her, and it was a mistake. They sent the money back, and there was no forgiveness or anything of that sort. But this latest this latest dust up with Oakwood Academy, that I think at the time that Mayori Davenport discussion, you had said, look, these guys aren't transparent. They're not accountable to anybody at the AHSAA. And you guys think that you need to take a closer look at that in the legislature.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's part of it, is just the simple fact that, you know, questions can't be answered. There's no real direction as to, you know, the answer that we always get is the schools are in charge. And then you go to the schools and they're, you know, we even asked in a meeting last week, how many schools participate in your rulemaking process? And the answer we got is less than 50%. Well, maybe we need to be having some conversations with our local school systems to make sure that they are more in tune with what's going on at the AHSAA. But the other response that we always get is, you know, we're a standalone nonprofit that has nothing to do with the state. But yet, from my perspective, employees receive state benefits and insurance and the retirement system. And every time it seems like they get embattled in a legal dispute, they claim immunity for being a quasi-state agency. And so maybe we need to define exactly how that is and what that relationship looks like so that some of these questions are answered from here on.
And something else, I think you brought this up. It's like its own little fiefdom, though, that if people speak out, if members speak out against this governing body, there's retribution, there's punitive measures taken against sometimes some of these schools, or at least there's this perception that it would be, and there's kind of a chilling effect. And we don't have, when we have these discussions about the Alabama High School Athletic Association, really a transparent discussion out of sort of a, I don't know, this very heavy-handed operation.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, they've got a provision in their rules and bylaws of loser pays. And, you know, for folks in Mobile, that came to light pretty clearly in the St. Paul's case from a year or so ago, 2 years ago. Luckily for St. Paul's, you know, the way that the judge dismissed the case, they were not responsible for the opposing side's attorney's fees. But that's, you know, that's part of it too. You know, if they can't stand up and speak, and they can't you know, have that battle in their day in court, then really what do we have? So it's a frustrating topic. You know, there's a lot of things that we would like to change. You know, I'm not for growing government and creating new, department under the Department of Education to deal with this kind of stuff. It's just that, I think we could all use a little bit more transparency. And, you know, what we are looking for at the end of the day is to make sure that we're providing best opportunity that we can for our student athletes at the high school level.
Now, the reason we bring all this up, ladies and gentlemen, we're joined by State Representative Kyle South here on the program. Earlier this year, maybe a month ago or so, Oakwood Adventist Academy they had to forfeit a game because the game was scheduled during the Sabbath. And despite some other members, or the other two schools that played the later game willing to swap with Oakwood and their opponent, AHSAA said, no, we're not going to accommodate this. If we accommodate one, we have to accommodate all. You guys at Oakwood signed a contract. You need to live up to your obligations. A representative, where I'm a little uneasy about this, should the Alabama High School Athletic Association, if they want to tell you the distance of a three-point shot or the size of goalposts, fine. But dictating to schools the terms of how they will exercise their religion to be a member makes me very uncomfortable.
Well, I'm in the same boat. So they will tell you that, you know, Oakwood signed a contract with them stating that they would not that their religious beliefs would not interfere with championship play. You would think, hey, well, you know, you're kind of discriminating against them and for their religious beliefs, because they're really the only ones that you pointed out as to say, hey, we need you to sign this contract before we let you in our association, because we know going in that that you have these beliefs. And, you know, So our question to the HSAA has been, who else has signed similar agreements? And I'm not sure that there is any examples out there. But also, you know, AHSAA doesn't allow for Sunday play. So are we discriminating against literally one religion more so than everybody else? And I know there's talks ongoing to allow for Sunday play in certain sports. Tennis and golf are the ones that come to mind the most, just because they're generally played more on the weekend than during the week. But again, we may not have discriminated at the point we said you've got to play on Saturday afternoon, but maybe we did discriminate when we asked you to sign that contract to begin with.
Right. My problem is, they're not responsible enough to make these calls. But you guys, you're calling Andy Witt in the House. But I think even Governor Ivey, Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth, has said, hey, you know, this isn't right. This is wrong. And it's not so much these elected officials having concerns and what you should do there. It's the flippant attitude of the AHSAA just being so dismissive of lawmakers, of policymakers, and just saying, we don't care what you say. We're going to continue operating as we will, and then we'll send a very, very condescending letter to the governor. We can't have that, can we?
No, and that's, you know, they definitely haven't made any friends through this process, but you know, Jeff, it seems like you and I get to have this conversation every year about one thing or the next with AHSAA. Even last year, when we had the trans athlete bill in the legislature that said, you know, a female has to play female sports and a male has to play male sports, you know, the AHSAA was behind the scenes going, yeah, we're all for this because this is going to solve a problem that maybe we won't have to address in the future. Or how does a state law fix an issue over here, but we can't fix another one? So there's a lot that I don't understand completely, and maybe you're not getting the correct answers or specific answers and those kinds of things. It's awfully frustrating.
Well, it's just there is a clear need, and we brought up two specific circumstances with Maori Davenport and Oakwood Academy, that there needs to be some kind of reform here. The way they operate, as if it's, you know, their heavy-handed approach, it just doesn't seem sustainable in a system where you use the public facilities, and as you point out, the public employees and or the public retirement benefits and what they use and their legal defenses, you know, they're getting the best of both worlds, as if they are private but operate sort of, they're quasi-public.
Yep, I agree with you totally, and it's one of those things that we'll keep battling till we find a good happy medium, and for the benefit of every student athlete that participates in high school sports, because that at the end of the day is really what our concern should be. And you know, a lot of times with the AHSAA, they look at too many things, you know, in black and white, and there's no gray area whatsoever for them. And sometimes you have to be able to modify, and maybe there's an appeals process for these folks that you know, I know that's a short window of time, but there should be at least a process to which they could have taken throughout that whole terrible situation that they had to put themselves through.
Well, it's just this. Exercise a little discretion here and there, and you won't have any problems, right?
Right.
Just be human about it. Don't be so dogmatic about it. And you don't, I mean, how hard would it have been to say, okay, you guys can play at 7:30 instead of 4:30 if these schools agree to play at 4:30. It's no big deal to us. And we'll move on, and no one thinks twice about it. And you and I aren't sitting here today on March 14th having this discussion, but the culture there doesn't lend itself for that. It is, you will do it. You will do it our way, or you won't participate. And I think that is off-putting to a lot of people.
No doubt about it. So there are nightmare stories that go even beyond that. And it's unfortunate for the kids that are participating or wanting to participate. And, you know, eligibility is a tough thing. And there has to be rules. But like you said, there's got to be a process in place where there's some discretion, and you know, every situation is not going to be the same.
Well, and we'll get you out of here on this. Do you see movement on any sort of legislation or bill? And probably not too late in this quadrennium or this session, but maybe next year.
There are definitely still conversations ongoing about legislation. I don't think it's going to be a complete overhaul by any stretch, but I think there are some things being discussed and considered that could possibly prevent this one situation anyway from happening in the future.
All right, well, we'll keep an eye out for that. State Representative, you've been very, very kind to come on. Let's talk again soon.
Absolutely, Jeff. Thanks, man. Hope you have a good week.
You do the same. Representative Kyle South of Fayette joining us there. Let's get a break here. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.